Hello, friends. We welcome you to the Words of Life program. Each week, we present a gospel program sponsored by Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers. This week brings us the last of four archived sermons that were presented by Brother Julius Hovan some years ago. His sermon this week has the long title, The Revelation of and Reaction to the Word of God. Brother Hovan is sure to make this clear as we listen. Please pray with me. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. We praise you and we thank you for loving us so much that you gave Jesus as an offering for our salvation. We will never be worthy of your love, and we pray that our lives will reflect that we know you. Please use the words of this program for your glory. We also desire your help upon all others working in faith, and bless each local congregation that is upholding your name. We likewise pray that you will bless each of our listeners with the convictions, peace, and healing that are needed. And thank you for hearing us. And when you have finished with us here upon this earth, please take us home to be with you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Come into his presence with thanksgiving in your heart and give him praise, and give him praise. Come into his presence with thanksgiving in your heart, your voice is raised, your voice is raised.
Give glory and honor. thanksgiving in your heart and give him praise, and give him praise. Come into his presence with thanksgiving in your heart, your voices raise, your voices raise. Give glory.
We now present Brother Hovan's sermon entitled, The Revelation of and Reaction to the Word of God.
May God bless you today as you have tuned into this gospel broadcast of Words of Life. Maybe it's the first time you have tuned in and God has in His providence brought you to this radio station and to hear this broadcast. And if that be the case, we hope you'll stay tuned, that the message will be a blessing to you and you will become more and more knowledgeable about the Lord Jesus and about the Word of God and about the Christian faith. I want today to go to the Word of God, as we always do, but I want to spend a little time with you in an Old Testament book called the Book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah lived in a time when it was very difficult for the nation of Israel. They had broken God's law. They had fallen away from Him. They had fallen into such sin and degradation that God had led them off into captivity. Jeremiah himself, as we will see in this chapter, was sorely abused, even by those who were of his own kind. And so we're going to go to this chapter and see what message God has for us in the day in which we are living. We have the Bible because God gave it to faithful writers, such as Jeremiah. The Apostle Peter says these writers were carried along by the Holy Spirit as they wrote the words. That is, they wrote words that were going to be accurate. Writers, 40 different writers, writing over hundreds and even thousands of years, and yet there is one theme throughout this thing we call the Word of God, the Bible. And so these faithful writers, guided by God's mind and God's Spirit, have given us the Word of God. And not only has God given it to us, presented it to us, but He has preserved it in spite of all the efforts through the years to destroy it, and even those who today question it and believe that it is irrelevant. A well-known atheist said that before he died, the Bible would be non-existent, and he became a not too true prophet. For he died, and the very house in which he was living became a printing house for the very Word of God that he said would pass out of existence. That Word still is the bestseller, having sold around the world in thousands of translations, multiplied millions of copies. To set the stage for our man Jeremiah today, we would tell you there is a man called Jehoiakim. He is a puppet king. He's not really a very important king, and rather a vile fellow, to be sure. And he sought to destroy not only God's Word, the written Word from Jeremiah, but also to destroy, and he did indeed abuse Jeremiah. And so through the centuries, there have been critics in and out of what is called even Christianity. In political circles, in other religions, whatever, who have tried to destroy the Word of God, and that has simply not succeeded. The Word stands like that anvil in the blacksmith shop. The hammer beats against it, and many hammers are broken, but the anvil stands, and so does the Word of God. This chapter 36 in Jeremiah presents this changeless truth about this Word of God and its preservation. Listen to verse 2 as we see the revelation of the Word of God. Take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words I have spoken unto you against Israel and against Judah, and against all the nations from the day that I spoke them unto you, from the days of Josiah unto this day." God has been talking to Jeremiah for many, many years. And Jeremiah has written down what God has said. And we notice we have the words here, "The words I, God, have spoken unto you." Jeremiah, don't just make something up. Don't just write your idea. You write down what it is that I have told you through these years. Verse 4 repeats basically that. "Then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah," and Baruch, that is, he was Jeremiah's secretary, "and he wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of Jehovah which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book." Here, my friends, is the revelation of the Word of God. God spoke. He had something to say to Israel and to Judah and to the other nations of the world and to us today. Here is the revelation. But oh, what is the reaction going to be to the Word of God? I would remind you that this message to Jeremiah comes in a terrible time of peril. The army of Babylon was at the very door of the city of Jerusalem, and it was going to take that door down, and it was going to destroy that beautiful city, and it was going to kill many people and take others to the far country of Babylon as captives. This was a time of great peril. It was a time when there was great sin prominently even in the temple. The prophets that were supposed to be God's spokespersons, the priests who were supposed to make the sacrifices, were not doing as God had instructed them to do. And so it is, the word is given in a time of peril, a time when prominent sin reigned in the temple. But the word was given persistently by God's spokesperson, the prophet Jeremiah, as well as others. Three times here, the word is proclaimed. It is set forth. And then the reaction to that word. The common people, the man on the street, as we would say today, maybe that's you, was indifferent to the word of God. Ho hum, Jeremiah. We don't care what God has said. It does not matter to us what he said he is going to do. The common people just ignored it. The responsible people, those that were the priests, those that were the rulers, those that were religious leaders, some few were brought under conviction, but unfortunately, not everybody. And the king? Here is the sad story. The king had an angry rejection of this word, and he rejected it vociferously. Evidence of the Bible's inspiration is that it contains within itself the timeless reaction of men who have recorded their own words. So here is the revelation of that word of God. Here is the reaction of the Word of God, and oh, sadly, here is the rejection of the Word of God. Look at verse 23 in this chapter. The king physically destroys the Word. Think about what this king is doing. "And it came to pass when Jehuda had read three or four leaves, that is, pages of the prophet from Jeremiah, the king cut it up with his knife and put it into the fire in the brazier until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was in the brazier." Oh, it has been so throughout the history of mankind. If I don't want what the Word of God says, if I don't like what I hear it saying, then I'll just get rid of it. I will destroy that word. And the king thought by cutting it up, by burning it, that he would be rid of it. But look at verse 24 that follows. It's one thing that if you tear up the Word of God, you might even do that accidentally. But listen to 24. "And they were not afraid." That is, those that witnessed what the king did, they had no fear that God's Word was destroyed. They didn't tear their garments as a sign of sadness. Neither the king nor any of his servants that had heard all these words. Oh, there is physical disregard of the Word of God. You may not even read it, or when you hear it, you just disregard it. But here is spiritual disregard. We stick our tongue out at God. We have no fear, no respect, no honor, no awe of this one who is our God. Oh, I would say to we who are claiming to be Bible believers, do we have this respect and awe for God that is missing in this verse of Scripture by these people? We can even begin to take the Word of God for granted. And it might be, God forbid, that there would be some part of it that we would say, well, I'm just not going to follow that part. I'm going to reject that. I don't believe I need to do this or that that God says. Maybe you say that with regards to becoming a Christian. Oh, I don't need to repent, or I don't need to come to Jesus, or I don't need to be baptized, or whatever it is that God says we ought to do, and we choose, kind of like going to the grocery store, and we pick what we want and leave the rest on the shelf. Oh, my friends, you cannot do that and be safe if you do that with the Word of God. This king did, and those that were there with him. Here is the physical disregard for the Word. Here is the spiritual disregard for the Word. But oh, look what they did to the messenger in verse 26. And the king commanded Jerahmeel, the king's son, and Sirajah, the son of Azrael, and Shelemiah, the son of Abedel. Now, remember those names. You may want to have those names for some of your children one of these days, or grandchildren. All of those names we have trouble pronouncing. Listen to what he says. You take Baruch the scribe, that is the man that wrote this book for Jeremiah, and you take him and Jeremiah the prophet. Take them. But we read in this verse that God hid them. The destruction, or the desire to destroy, the messenger of God. If I can't get rid of the message, I'll get rid of the messenger. Oh, when we're unsuccessful, as messengers have tried to be through the years to share the Word, how many times some have preached in mission fields for years without one convert, but they have been faithful to proclaim the Word. And finally, the Spirit brings about that conviction. But now an interesting thing happens, and I would remind you before we leave this particular point, as you read through the book of Jeremiah, you will find that the king got so upset later that he had Jeremiah thrown in a well. It was a well with deep mud in the bottom of it, and he sank down to his armpits. You just try to picture that, if you will. They put him in there, evidently, to die. Fortunately, through the providence of God, someone who were his friends found out, and they took rags and tied them together and dropped them down, and Jeremiah tied them around under his arms, and they were able to pull him out of that terrible well. The treatment of the messenger of God. Oh, I read it quite often in reports that come across my desk. Missionaries in many lands of the world today that are anti-Christian, anti-Bible, anti-God. And the missionary, the spokesperson for God, his life is taken. Men, women, children, entire families, homes burned and destroyed because they are Christians. So things have not changed, only for the worse, since the days of Jeremiah. What do we have then? The revelation of the Word of God. God spoke, He gave the message. The reaction to the Word of God was indifference, conviction by a very few, but an angry rejection by the king. The rejection not only of the Word, but of the messenger and the desire to destroy him. But oh, there is always good news, and that is the renewal of the Word of God. We still have Jeremiah's message. The very words he gave to Jeremiah that Baruch, his secretary, wrote down, we have them today. For after the king burned them, God acts again to renew those words. He gave those words again, and Jeremiah gave them to Baruch, who wrote them down the second time. You will remember that when Moses came down from the mountain the first time and found the circumstances of the people living in sin at the bottom of the mountain, that he was so angry that he broke the tablets on which the commandments were written. So what did God do? God carved out two more tablets with those commandments on them. Let me say to you today, across America, the courts have decided we cannot post those Ten Commandments in the places where they usually have been. But let me say to you, they will never destroy them, for God will keep them going. Indeed, they are going around the world. They are the commandments by which God would have us live. Now think of this renewal. Look at verse 28 in this chapter in the book of Jeremiah before we close today. Verse 28 says this, "Take thee again another roll, and write in it all the former words that were in the first roll which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, has burned." Oh, here is the renewal of the word. Here is the divine assurance that God's message is going to get out, and man, he's not able to prevent it. And listen to beginning with verse 30 through verse 32. These are beautiful thoughts. "Therefore, thus saith Jehovah concerning Jehoiakim, king of Judah." What has God got to say about a king who destroys his word? What does God think about a king who wants to destroy the messenger of God? "He will have none to sit upon the throne of David, and his dead body will be cast out in the day to the heat, and in the night to the frost. And I will punish him and his seed and his servants for their iniquity, and I will bring upon him and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the men of Judah all the evil I have pronounced against them, but they hearken not." Then took Jeremiah another roll, and gave it to Baruch the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim the king of Judah had burned in the fire, and they were added, besides unto them, many like words. More was added. God not only restored what had been burned, but he gave more to that. Now, my friends, what is our conclusion to this today? God has spoken. He has spoken in his world. To look at the universe, to look at the stars, the planets, the sun, the moon, the seasons, to look at the Word of God as it has gone forth, to look at the world that runs with such precision, God has spoken through that. But likewise, he has spoken in his written word, not just through Jeremiah, but through many other Old Testament writers, and then those New Testament writers about which we are very familiar. And yes, the Bible tells us he has spoken in these latter days one more time through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God has spoken. Here is the revelation of the word. People react today like they did in Jeremiah's day. They react in various ways. Some want to destroy it. Some want to disregard it. But my friends, God had preserved it. It is as up to date today for us as it was for those 3 or 4 or 5,000 years ago. And so we teach and understand this Word of God. And I say to you in closing this broadcast, what happened 2,000 years ago on Pentecost, when the people recognized what they had done in the great sin of crucifying Jesus, they said, "What must we do?" The Apostle Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." My friends, that worked then. It works today. God's plan has not changed. God's blessings come through the same simple way of the gospel. It is my desire today that if you're a Christian, you will live faithfully for the Lord and share the word with others. If this is your time to hear the gospel, if this is your time to react to the word of God, that it'll be a positive reaction. You'll say yes to Jesus and come to him for salvation. God bless you as you fight the battles of the days in which you are living.
We gather here in Jesus' name. His love is burning in our hearts like living flame. For through the loving Son, the Father makes us one. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord. No one is a stranger here. Everyone.
joins us here. He breaks the bread. The Lord who pours the cup is risen from the dead. The one we love the most is now our gracious host. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord.
We are now a family of which the Lord is head. The one sing he bids us hear in the breaking of the bread. We'll gather soon where angels sing. We'll see the glory of our Lord and coming King. Now we anticipate the feast for which we wait. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord.
Do you truly believe in Jesus? The Bible teaches that people who believe need to repent of sin, confess Jesus as Savior, and be baptized by immersion. We suggest that you also find a good Bible-believing group of believers to help you. If we can help you by answering questions, please write to us. And to receive a free CD of this and last week's program, simply ask for broadcast 1836. That's 1836. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana, 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana, 47172, USA. Our email address is wolradio@att.net. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. You can also listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want to by logging on to wordsofliferadio.com and selecting the broadcast that you want to hear. Our newsletter is also available online. On behalf of Words of Life, this is Wayne Hobbs thanking you for listening. Please plan now to tune in again next week at this same time for another program from Words of Life.